It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy, Poetic, and tonight it's going to be another great night. Right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about what are some of the legalities we face as entertainers. But before I get deep into the topic, let's cover the show like we always do. Lady Di?
How are you, Poetic?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I've been waiting all day for this exciting topic and our exciting guest. So, yes, let us go ahead and cover the show so we can jump right into the business. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together and just be able to grow and learn and share with one another. For we know that it is all about you and not about us. We ask you to cover and bless the guests who have come to share, and most importantly, our listeners, that they may grow and be better because of the information that we will be given tonight. And then, as always, bless our CEO and the founder of this wonderful radio station and all of the staff that helps to keep it aboard. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Poetic, why don't you let everybody know who we have on deck with us tonight? Poetic? I will wait to get Poetic reconnected. One of the things that we have been talking about tonight with legalities on board is always to have an expert that can actually help guide us through the conversation. Mr. Randall McMillan will be joining us, and we are very excited to have him. Good evening, Mr. McMillan. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine.
Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and who you are, and then we'll dive right into our discussion. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Sure, sure. My pleasure. My name is Randall McMillan. I'm an entertainment lawyer based in New York City. I have my own practice called McMillan Law, and I'm also of counsel to another boutique entertainment law firm called Sweeney Johnson & Skates. I've spent most of my career in the music industry and a great deal of it inside major record labels as a music executive and attorney for the record company.
So for those of us, because I'm not sure how much you've been briefed on our targeted audience, but most of them are aspiring unsigned artists, and so we'd like for you to talk to us as though we're 2-year-olds so that we can actually get all of the information, and we like to become sponges and absorb everything that you have to share with us tonight. So if you could start by just letting everybody know exactly what does entertainment law, what does that entail? So with you being an entertainment lawyer, go into detail as to what, you know, who would actually hire you? What would they need you for and those type of things? So I know that's a large question, but take it in chunks and let us know.
I'll do my best, and I'll try to give several examples. So that people will get a good taste of sort of the answers to all those questions. Much of my experience has been in contracts and in negotiating contracts and drafting contracts and consulting with people who are about to enter into contracts. And those contracts for much of my career have revolved around entertainment, almost predominantly music. And more specifically, some of my clients are record producers who may produce tracks for artists, and they may come to me to negotiate their producer agreements between themselves and the artists. Some of my clients are artist managers, and they may manage artists who are of note or, you know, that are presently signed, or they may manage artists who are early in their careers and trying to become stars in their own right. And those managers will come to me in order for me to prepare agreements for them, to negotiate agreements for them between themselves and the artists whose careers they intend to lead. In addition, I also represent companies that are in and around the music and entertainment industries. For example, marketing companies or advertising agencies, PR companies that get publicity for talent, for artists, for films. Some of the things that I do for them may be drafting agreements for them so that they can enter into agreements with their staff. A lot of small businesses have staff who act really as independent contractors, which means they're not formal employees that you, as a business owner, would have to pay their income taxes or deduct Social Security or disability payments from their checks on their behalf. But they're independent contractors. You pay them a certain fee, and they handle their own taxes and things of that nature. So what the business owners come to me for is to draft those independent contractor agreements for them. A lot of independent record labels often use that type of an arrangement in order to keep their overhead costs low so that they don't have tons of employees who they have to provide with a paycheck every week. So they just have people who you would call independent contractors who may work with for the label on a case-by-case basis if they have a particular project that they're trying to ramp up to launch. So those are just some of the examples of the types of clients that I handle. Over the bulk of my career, I've spent much of my time inside major record labels. I initially started my career at RCA Records back in the late 90s, where I handled any and every legal issue that may have come up for a certain artist, artists that you might be familiar with, such as Christina Aguilera or Tyrese. And then after RCA Records, I went on to Island Def Jam Records, where I spent a better part of the last decade negotiating the recording agreements for Def Jam to sign artists such as Kanye West, Neo, Rihanna, Fabolous, J-Lo, and a host of other artists. And what I did on behalf of the record label, I would negotiate with the artist's attorneys what the terms were that we were going to agree to for those recording agreements between Def Jam and the actual artists themselves.
Okay. We're starting to get you off that shell, because I'm like, now listen, I read the bio. I did my homework before I got online with you, and I was about to say, you have, as humble as you are, and we love humility, you have really worked with some big names. And I think it's always important to share, because, again, since our targeted audience is more the unsigned and aspiring artists who really the ones that we've come in direct contact with tend to have a great work ethic and just true passion about the industry, but they don't always necessarily have the business savvy piece of it, which in my mind, you know, the legality piece falls into. And so I want to, if we could, because you do specialize in the newer artists as well, you know, what should they be looking for, and what type of things should they seek counsel for from someone like you, especially those who have you know, just made some tremendous work. You know, we heard some music when we were in Miami not too long ago, and, I mean, the music was phenomenal. Like, it was radio ready. It was commercial ready. It was market, you know, it had the marketability to it. But they just don't know how to take that next step, you know. And oftentimes what we find Randall, is that a lot of them don't have that funding piece. And, you know, I think anytime you hear the word lawyer, you know you have to have money. And so I think,
right.
you know, what can you say to them? How do they prepare to even begin to work with you and to seek your type of counsel?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. My favorite clients are the clients who've educated themselves as much as they can on their own about the business before I even meet them. So I think one of the things that you can do that doesn't cost you anything is to, if you really love this business or you in this industry, is to learn as much as you can. If you're listening to this, you probably are already in that mindset. But there's so much material, especially with the Internet, that you can access to get almost any question that you have explained. For example, lots of people toss around the term publishing, music publishing, copyrights, but they don't necessarily know what that means. Well, one of the things that I would strongly suggest is if you're serious about entering into this business is that you go online and you Google music publishing, and you look up what that means and read it from different sources, because some people may be clearer than others, but read it enough so that you get a general handle and understanding of one of the most important aspects of income in the recorded music business, which is music publishing. So I think first steps, money aside, content aside, hot tracks aside, is understanding what it is about the business that you know and what it is that you don't know. Because where there is a gap, there's a place for you to fill it. And gathering that information on your own is easier than it's ever been. So that by the time you have something that other people are interested in and they're approaching you about entering into some arrangements with them with respect to the material, by the time you come to me, you'll be in a position to have a conversation with me about how you interpret what someone's offering you based upon your own knowledge and your own information that you've developed over time by doing your own research. So that's the first thing I would do, is to study those terms that you're not that familiar with and that you've heard about so that you can begin to talk the language. Then secondly, you know, and this is sort of my record industry executive side. I'll take the lawyer hat off for a minute. But, you know, having been inside major record labels for almost 15 years, I can tell you that things have changed dramatically over the last 5-plus years. And the industry is still in dramatic change at this time. The time where there was significant artist development and people took a long time investing money, time, and energy in signing new artists and in developing them and in getting them ready and getting them to a place where someone will, you know, listen to them and take them seriously as an artist that's ready to go to market. That long window of time is gone now. Major record labels are looking for quick hits. They're looking for things that have what you might refer to as a short runway, where by the time it's brought to them, there's already some kind of buzz. It might be regional. It could be national, even better from their perspective. So they're really looking for artists, managers, producers to do a lot more of the legwork than they ever needed before. And I think that's something to be aware of and to accept as sort of a new way of engaging these companies now. Because they are struggling to keep up with the dramatic shift in where their money comes from. Many of them are still built, and they're still staffed, and they still spend money in the same way that they did 20 years ago when they were selling these plastic discs in Best Buy and Walmart for $15, $16 each. There has not been a dramatic shift in the economics of the way that they exist and the way that they sustain themselves to reflect the dramatic shift in what's happening with music. People aren't buying CDs anymore. People are buying songs individually, if they're buying them at all. When you walk into a retail store now, a large retail store that used to have music front and center, for example, a Best Buy or another electronic type store, the music's no longer front and center. A couple of years ago, I believe it was Best Buy, made the decision that they were no longer going to put CDs front and center as soon as you walk in the store, and they were going to move them back to their DVD and audio visual video game section. Well, that was a dramatic thing that really had an impact on the importance of music to the consumer. So I say all that to say to the listeners that the business has changed and people are looking for sure bets. They still appreciate music. They still appreciate the quality of music, and they want to bring good music to the marketplace. But they also realize that sometimes that can take longer than, you know, a quick hit. And it's something to be aware of as you're pursuing opportunities in this business.
Wow, well, as you can hear, I'm definitely engaged and so glad that you've joined us tonight. For those of you who are just joining us, you are officially locked and loaded to Hip Hop National Radio. It is your hostess with the mostest, the lovely Lady Di, alongside Poetic. And, of course, you know Myra Moe is always somewhere in the background holding us down. Listen, if you have questions for this fantastic man who has joined the line tonight, feel free to dial in at 213-559-2995. The number again is 213-559-2995. And press the number 1 if you should have a question or a comment for Mr. Randall McMillan. Also, you can join via the web at www.blogtalkradio.com with a / to Hip Hop National Radio. It's just that easy. You know, we're talking all about legalities, and this is where, to me, the rubber kind of meets the road. You know, I am always kind of torn when you hear entertainers, be it, you know, now the athletes are spilling over into, you know, acting and doing other careers. So it seems like there's a lot of bleeding and blending in the lines now. And I guess at what point, you know, do you work or collaborate with other lawyers? You know, because just in my mind, I'm thinking that sometimes when you hear the horrific stories about, you know, people having, you know, one person, you know, be it a lawyer, accountant, what have you, dealing with funds, I guess I say to myself, if I ever really make it big, what is your advice, you know, for having, you know, multiple lawyers and multiple eyes, you know, kind of looking at everything to always make sure that at the end of the day everything adds up? What's your thoughts on that, Mr. McMillan?
Well, I think that you should, that artists, producers, even artist managers, you know, you're going to need a good team. And, you know, a good team really consists of people who have as much experience as possible dealing with the specific business that you're in or the specific subject matter that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I'm a new artist and I am in a position to enter into my first record deal, I want to have an experienced entertainment lawyer with experience in the music industry. I want to have a manager who is the person who's going to basically be my voice in connection with dealing with the various people who want to try to get me to do something one way or the other. I also want a good business manager. That business manager is going to be the one who's responsible for watching money that comes into you as an artist. Maybe you performed at a show and there was $5,000 that was paid to you. You would direct whoever that was who put on the show to send that money directly to your business manager. Your business manager will then take care of taking out taxes and setting those aside for you so you don't have to worry about getting that money together at tax time. They'll also set aside money to pay your manager their percentage, because they're usually making a percentage of whatever it is that you earn. And they'll also set aside money for your expenses, which might mean your rent or your mortgage. Or, you know, if you have children, it could be, you know, their child support. Or it could be your utilities, your light bill, your cell bill, your phone bill, things of that nature. They'll set aside those monies for you. And then they'll also have an account that they'll put the balance of the money in for you to be able to access. They usually give you a card that's, you know, a credit card that, or some type of a debit card, whatever, however you work it out, where there's money set aside that you can live off of, but they've taken care of some of your basic necessities. So you can see the importance of a business manager is very, very key. Then you have, you want to have a good accountant who, similar to the business manager, but they're not handling your day-to-day expenses. They're really there to make sure that your taxes are properly filed. They're there to make sure that you are withholding the right amount of money for taxes. As you begin to become more and more successful, you make more and more money, you move into a higher tax bracket. Well, part of the accountant's job is to tell you, hey, you need to adjust the amount of money that you're holding aside, setting aside for taxes, because you're doing really well now and you're making that much more money. Your accountant is also going to be the one who advises you, you know, with respect to certain things that, hey, you know what, you may want to think about buying a house now, because that's going to help you from a tax perspective. So these key individuals are the key players that you need to have as a part of your team. They will often, if they're experienced, will often work with each other to make sure that one or the other is doing what they should do and the artist is not experiencing some, you know, dramatic distress because someone's not handling their part of the business. If you're an artist and you're doing well, but you only pay attention to your financial issues once a year on April 15th, that's kind of a recipe for disaster. You really need this kind of a team in place. And there's a cost associated with it, absolutely. But that cost is really for the maintenance of your livelihood. That cost that you pay for the services of these skilled people is the thing that's going to keep you from going in significant debt, for becoming one of those stories that you referred to before, people who, you know, sold a million records and then found that they're filing for bankruptcy or they no longer have a roof over their heads. They did not invest in the team that would treat their assets and their money in a way as if it's not guaranteed, you know, to keep coming for the rest of their lives, but they managed it in such a way to spread it out so that they'll always have a decent lifestyle or livelihood. So I think that's definitely the combination of people that you need to have in this business if you are serious about taking it to a high level.
Wow. I'm just really intrigued, and just I appreciate you being on and just giving us this information and really taking your time to make sure that we get it, because it opened our eyes to a whole nother part of the industry. Because, you know, I think that sometimes we get caught up in the talent, you know, and a person makes great music or they're a good actress and that's all we see, and we forget about the part that makes them be able to continue to do the things that they need to do to display the talent, which is the business part. And even more so, we find, you know, stories where the legalities were never in check. You know, it's just like you were kind of out here with the dream and move forward before you even kind of woke up, kind of thing. And I think that it's just important for people to hear it. And, you know, like I said earlier, you are, you know, phenomenal in your own right. I was even still at my office here in Dallas and showed your picture and mentioned your name, and there's an actress that's actually here in the office who said, oh, my God, like he is really, even though I see that you sit in, on the East Coast in New York, she was saying how prestigious your name was out in L.A. on the West Coast. And so it just goes to show that when you have a great brand, it really doesn't matter what end of the state you're on. If you're great at what you do, people recognize greatness. And so I just want to just say on behalf of Hip Hop National Radio how honored we are to have you take time out of your hectic schedule to come and share with us tonight. And we really appreciate you being on, Mr. McMillan.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure. I want to, you know, folks, this is a great business. Look, music is one of the few things that impacts people regardless of their stage, age, or place in life, and impacts them in a very passionate way. And that's why so many people are drawn to it. But it really, you know, it doesn't have to be something that is scary if you just do a little bit of your homework, and if you realize that you don't have to know everything, that there are people out there who are very knowledgeable about the area who can help you in making certain key decisions that you need to make as you move along in the field.
I'm just glad that you've taken the time, like I said, to come and share this information, because I belong to a group called CEO Space, and it's where you get an opportunity to be in the room with greatness. I mean, real giants like yourself. And it's funny because the only rule is while you're in what they call the CEO Space, you can take advantage, like we're doing tonight, of all of the great information sharing that takes place. But once you allow them to get back out on the regular streets and you walk into their office, it's business as usual. So they kind of teach you how to get straight to the point and take, like I said, advantage of having that greatness with you. And so for me, this kind of reminds me of it because I know what you do during the day in your profession and all of the charges that come along with it and the fees. I mean, quite honestly, you're in it, you know, for the business part of it too. And so for you to come and share this information again, you know, it just humbles us, and we're just, again, grateful that you would come and do it. So I really wanted to just say kudos to you and thank you again for just coming to share.
Thank you.
And so, again, I don't want to be the only one hogging up this time because, you know, I'm definitely intrigued, and what you have said has really resonated with a lot of other folks. You know, I was talking to you directly from my phone, and they were like, put it back on speakerphone. We're really enjoying him. And so we're definitely making an impression here tonight, and again, we appreciate it. And so, Poetic, I want to, you know, pause for a moment because I know we're at the bottom of the hour. To see if you had any specific questions for Mr. McMillan, or did you want to go to commercial break? I wanted to kind of bring you into the fold and see what direction you wanted to take. Poetic?
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, I'll speak. I do have a couple of questions, but I did want to go ahead to the break on time.
All right, well, it sounds good. Well, you are listening to Hip Hop National Radio. You definitely do not want to go anywhere. We have the fantastic Randall McMillan online with us, and we're talking all about any type of legalities as it relates to the entertainment industry. And so you want to ask your questions. Now is the time to kind of dial in at 213-559-2995 or simply log on to www.blogtalkradio.com with a / to Hip Hop National Radio. Of course, some of you join us via Skype, but this is your opportunity to get your questions answered from the expert himself. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to Hip Hop National Radio.
You are my best friend. know about the scandalous moves you try to pull, and I can no longer trust you, cause you're chasing my men, you pretend to act a fool.
Professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio. It is your hostess with Moses, the lovely Lady Di, alongside Poetic, and we are blessed tonight to have with us an expert in his own right, talking about legalities with us, Mr. Random McMillan. Now, the sweet sounds that you just heard were those of KO, and she simply entitles that one Cry Wolf. So, Mr. McMillan, one of the things that we do when we come out of what we call our kind of our serious music sound checks, so to speak, we'd like to just get feedback of what you thought of the song. And if you had to rate it 1 to 10, what would you give it? So what did you think about KO and Cry Wolf? Randall?
Sound good. Sound like a good up-tempo club sound. Could probably play well in Miami and New York and Toronto and probably in some places in Europe as well.
Excellent. Well, we thank you for that.
Poetic, I know that there have been people patiently waiting on the line, so I want to turn it over to you so that we can definitely get their question or comments and dive back into this wonderful discussion around legalities. Poetic?
All right. Thank you, Lady Di. We have 623-521. 623-521, you now have the floor. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and please turn down your radio. Going once, going twice. 623-521, you now have the floor. All right.
Yes,
go ahead. You have the floor.
Yes. My name is Stephen Henry, a.k.a. Captain Poetry Music. I've been listening to Mr. Randall McMillan, and I've had some questions, but it seems like he's covered all the bases. But when I went into the music industry, I really went into the industry, and even though I have a talent, but I went in quite blind, because I was very excited that I could make music, and I did get signed on a label called Rebellious. It's out of Portland, Oregon, back in 2007. But the question that I have is, how can a person tell that they're being preyed upon? What are some of the signs that a person can watch out for, you know? Because when I went in, I did go in and thinking that, you know, going in with good faith that I wouldn't be preyed upon, and the contracts and stuff was mentioned to me, and I wanted to do all that up front, but it was like, okay, we're going to take care of that. Let's do the recording, and I got you back, and so forth.
Captain Porter, I hate to interrupt you, but what's your question?
Okay, my question is, for a new person that's going into the music business, what are some of the what are some of the things to watch out for, and what should the contract entail? You know, what's some of the basic things that a contract say that let the person know that they're going to go into this and will not be taken advantage of?
Okay, well, there's so many different agreements, and so it's this would be probably a 3 to 4 day long seminar for me to go through all the agreements and sort of give you a sense of what needs to be where and what doesn't. But I can tell you this much, which is I think your sort of key question, most important question, and a good one is, what kind of things should you look out for? Well, one of the things that I like to think of, you know, when I'm asked this question is it's sort of instinctive, but here's one thing. If you are rushed, if you find that people are rushing you to make decisions that you do not feel informed enough or educated enough to make, then that's a good sign that someone is trying to take advantage of you, particularly if you let that person know that you don't fully know what all the issues and concerns are that you should be considering in making that decision. I like to tell my clients, if someone is rushing you, for example, if a record company or a label or a producer, if someone is rushing you, it means that they need you. So if they need you, then you actually have a little bit more leverage than you think to slow things down so that you can get the information and the expertise that you need in order to help you to make the best decision or the most informed decision that you can. The decision will always be yours, but sometimes just by slowing things down, maybe even for a day, you can then be able to better assess a situation and make a more informed decision about whether or not you want to move forward in a certain project or in terms of entering into a certain agreement. If you think about it, if you simply move forward in haste without really feeling confident about what you're getting into, then you're really just subjecting yourself to whatever is going to happen is going to happen to you. And that really puts you in a very vulnerable, victim-like circumstance. But if you slow things down and say, wait, I don't understand this fully. I need a day to digest this. And in that time, see if you can quickly get the guidance that you need to make this decision. Then, if you think about it, if you're able to make that come back and make that decision from a very informed place, then you're going to be very comfortable with some of the things that happen as a result of that decision, whether they're good or bad, because you feel like you made that decision with the wisdom that you had at the time, and it was the best wisdom that was available. And you sought it out, and you got it, and you made the decision. And things could turn out just great, but they could not turn out great. It could turn out that you sign a document that says that you are now bound to someone in terms of your creativity for the next 8 to 10 years. And 8 to 10 months into the relationship, you find that this person is not trustworthy and that this person is no longer interested in your talents but still has you under contract. So you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything else. And you can't get someone else maybe to represent you because you're bound to that other person. Now, those are the kind of things that from your vantage point you should think, you know what? It's worth my time and money and reputation to slow this thing down and get the help and expertise that I need in order to make an informed decision. Because the impact that this is going to have on me could be very significant. It could go far beyond the scope of whatever the opportunities are that you're talking about at that moment. It just might be, let's go into the studio and make some music tonight. But sign this. But that this may go far beyond tonight. And it may be a great opportunity, but you need to take the time to get the professional expertise that you need. And if people are rushing you, telling you that you don't need it, then that's a sign that you should look out for that someone may be taking advantage of you.
Okay, that sounds very good, very good. Because, like I was saying, when I first got into the industry, it was a rush type deal, but I did get signed on the record label and so forth. But the thing about it is the contract was never signed or anything, but there are some good options that I do have at this point. But I just wouldn't want anyone else to, you know, go through what I went through. You know,
right.
I have some misfortunes, you know, the downside of it, you know, monetary side right now, you know, I need to, you know, retrieve some things. But the thing about it is I've met other people with similar circumstances in the music industry where they were getting the runaround, you know, getting flown to New York and certain other places, and people were trying to rush them to go ahead on and do things, and they were getting them to try to change, you know, the way they do it, you know, their talent and so forth. But you've seemed to cover all the bases that the information that I need to adjust myself.
Great.
Lady Di, you now have the floor.
Okay. I was about to say, you said that you were going to ask your questions. Were you done, Poetic?
Well, actually, I do have a couple of questions that I had put together. What is a split sheet? And why do artists need to sign one of them?
A split sheet is, let me paint the scenario for you, and then you'll understand what a split sheet is and why it's important.
Okay.
So Poetic and I decide that we're going to go to the studio and we're going to work on some music. We're just going to see what happens. We're feeling good. We're enthused, you know, and we just have some creative energy flowing. And we're in the studio and, you know, maybe you're playing some instruments or maybe I'm performing and we're, you know, we're writing some lyrics down and, you know, trying some drums and some percussions. And we're in the studio for, you know, 6 or 7 hours, and we get to the end of the night and we realize, hey, we came up with some great songs here. This is some really good stuff. I think we can do something with this. And we agree, yeah, no, we really vibed creatively tonight. I'm like, okay, well, you know, what song do we have? Well, we have this song, and we have this song, and we have this song. These three songs are really good. Well, great. Well, maybe we can do something with them to launch our career. Well, we need to figure out, between us, Poetic, like, who owns these songs? Is it just going to be me? Because I wrote all the lyrics? Or is it going to be you? Because you actually came up with the music and the melody and the piano and all the chords. I mean, all I really did was sing over what you put together musically. Or is it going to be both of us? Since we both kind of contributed to it. And if it's going to be both of us, well, are we going to do it 50-50? Or are we going to say that, well, boy, you know, you really spent a lot more time on the music than I did on the lyrics, so maybe it should be 60-40. Or is it that my lyrics and the chorus that I came up with is so catchy that that's really what's going to sell this record and make it pop and make us get an opportunity for a deal? So really, it should be 75 mine and 25 yours, because maybe you just did some drum beats and that was about it. Well, that discussion and whatever comes out of it, whatever is decided, is going to determine who owns that song. And if that song goes on to win a Grammy and to be performed at the Grammys by us and become the number one song on the Billboard 200 charts and becomes the number one song around the world, it's going to make a lot of money. And how that money is paid out and divvied up is going to be dependent in part by what came out of that conversation between the two of us that night at that studio. So it's really important that we write down what we decide. And what we write that on is something that we're going to call a split sheet, which basically says these three songs that we came up with, Poetic, we decided amongst ourselves here tonight that this song we're going to split 50-50 in terms of ownership. This song we're going to split 75-25 in terms of ownership. And this song we're going to split 90-10 because, you know, maybe somebody just came up with a couple of chants or, you know, some parts of the hook, but the rest of the song was really put together, lyrics and music and all, by the other person. So that split sheet, that piece of paper that writes down, here's the song, and here's what percentage Poetic owns, and here's what percentage I own, is going to be what is going to govern going forward how income from the sale and use of those songs is split. That split sheet is what is going to be given to a music publisher. Either I or you or both of us decide to maybe enter into an agreement with to oversee how these songs are sold and used throughout the world. Because we can't keep track of how the song is being sold in Japan or what, you know, TV station wants to use the song in Germany. So that's where a publisher comes in, because they may be worldwide and they can sort of handle all that administrative stuff for us. But when the money starts coming in, they're going to want to know who to send it to and how much. And that split sheet is going to tell them what to do.
As far as a lawyer, you're an entertainment lawyer. That when it comes to overseas activities, do you need an international entertainment lawyer? Is there a difference?
There really isn't anything called an international entertainment lawyer.
Okay.
The law is different in each territory and each. So, for example, there are lawyers how music law is treated in London or in England will be different from how it's treated in New York or Los Angeles or Atlanta or here in the United States generally with respect to some of the laws. Some of the general principles may be the same, but the laws will be different. And so, generally, in the United States, when people enter into agreements, recording agreements, most of them are actually worldwide agreements. And what that means is whatever we agree to in the agreement here in the United States is what's going to be used to govern how these records are treated worldwide. So in the actual recording agreement, we're going to lay out how royalties from Sweden are going to be split between us and things of that nature. So some agreements are territory by territory. So if you're an artist in the UK, in London, and you're entering into a distribution deal with a British record company, you probably would want to hire a British music lawyer who understands all the customs and practices of British distribution companies and can advise you on the nuances of how things are done there and what you should expect, what you should ask for, what they're probably likely to give, and what they want.
Okay. Lady Dom, I'm going to pass it on to you. You now have the floor.
All right. Well, thank you so much for passing it back. And if you don't mind me saying, Mr. McMillan, I was reading not only your bio as I was doing some research and preparing for the show, but you are very easy on the eyes. You have that look. You know how sometimes you can be in the right industry and you just have that look? When I looked at your picture, I'm like, I can see that. I'm like, nice. So you are very, very handsome and also talented. You've been doubly blessed. So we, again, appreciate you being on the show. And I tell you, I did a stint. I worked for J.P. Morgan Chase, and I did a stint out in New York for a while. And there's no place like New York. I mean, very interesting. And move from there to just being a Southern Belle now here in Dallas is definitely a different transition. And I spent the majority of my life out in the Midwest in the Chicagoland area, and then moved upstate to the Detroit, Flint, Michigan area. So definitely have been around the globe, but I'd have to say there's no place like New York. So, I wish you definitely continued success, and may God bless all your endeavors and everything that you do. And
I accept that.
I've just really been blessed by what you've shared with us tonight, and just a different perspective, because sometimes we have guests on and they come from all different angles, but very pointed, very candid with the information that you shared. And I believe that sharing is caring, and that's how we grow. So I am just, again, honored and have been humbled tonight to have you on. In Poetic, I was not sure what you had agreed upon with Mr. McMillan as far as the time was concerned, so I'm going to yield the floor to you for you to give me direction.
Okay. Mr. McMillan, if that's up to him, but I told him about it. The show goes on about an hour and a half, and
okay.
But it's up to him.
I'm fine. I'm fine to hang out for the next half hour if there are more questions.
Okay. Excellent, because I have been I'm telling you, you have just, you're the superstar for the night, so I'm getting all kinds of questions even flooding from my side. So since you can entertain a few more, one of the things that came up is if the person is ready to kind of move on to the next level, so to speak, and does not have the proper funding, and they were listening in when you were talking about some of the things that you can do that does not even cost anything, what are some other creative things that you know of that you can maybe suggest to them to get the type of counsel that they need if they really are at that breaking point where they're at a crossroad to take that leap of faith and they've been offered an opportunity, but, again, they don't necessarily have the funding to pay for legal counseling? What can you offer to them? Because I know there's a few that are in this market that are at that stage, very talented, have been offered some things, but just, does not know enough about the legalities piece of it and really don't want to sign their life away. What can you offer to them?
Right. I think, I have a couple of thoughts about that. One, if we're talking about an artist, I think one of the most important members of an artist team is their manager. And it really, really, really is in the best interest of an artist who's been told that they have some talent and there's some interest in to seek out managers who have some experience. Even if it's just local or regional experience, most managers tend to be very entrepreneurial. They tend to be people who know how to make something out of nothing and who know how to find situations and find people to help them to accomplish whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish. And the reason why I stress this is because oftentimes managers are the ones who will find the opportunity to find the resources to be able to pay for different things that the artist may not be able to pay for. So an artist may have a show coming up somewhere and they don't have really the proper outfit to wear to that show. And oftentimes the manager is the one who will go and maybe try to work something out with somebody who also has a business and negotiate something so that they can get them an outfit to wear for that show to make that money. That is where managers are invaluable, and managers can help in bridging that gap between you being an artist with no money but with talent, people who are interested, to being an artist with talented and people who are interested in and having someone on your side who is being creative about figuring out how to get you the resources that you need in order to get the expertise and the advice that you need. Because, one of the things about, I'll be the first one to admit, legal services, yes, can be expensive. They can be pricey. And so you need as much help as you can get in order to being able to acquire those kind of services for yourself so that you can make the best decisions. But if you think about it, we're talking about something that is very, very, very important in terms of any artist's career. Most artists are focused on their craft. They're not really focused on the legalities of what they're doing in terms of their agreements they're signing or the things that they may be using in their music and permissions and things of that nature. They're more focused on creating, and that's what they should be focused on. So someone has to be focused on those other things for them. And usually that's the manager. And the manager recognizes that there are other things that need to be taken into account. They're the ones who are often the ones who will seek out lawyers with experience or accountants with experience or business managers with experience to help their artists in one way or the other. So I can't stress more than I already have the importance of seeking out a manager. Even before you seek out an attorney, a manager can be very helpful in that process. I think in terms of some general information about the legal aspects of the music business, there's an attorney who has a book called His Business of Music. His name's Donald Passman, a nice guy. He wrote this book some years ago, and I believe it's probably in the second or third edition now. And this business of music is a thick book, but it's not something you read cover to cover. It's something that you flip to certain sections of, and he is a lawyer, and you can, you know, read that book sometimes if you come across certain situations to help you understand certain business terms and certain legal terms and legal situations that may come up. So, you know, for the price of buying a book, sometimes you can get some insight into some legal advice that way. Also, in some major cities like New York City, and I know in Los Angeles, and I believe maybe also in Atlanta, but I'm not certain, there's something called the Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, which is a nonprofit organization that seeks to help artists, not just recording artists, but also fine artists, painters, musicians, sculptors, and help them by having a number of lawyers who volunteer their time to help these artists who may be struggling financially with different issues that may come up, legal issues where they need some assistance or counsel but can't otherwise afford the cost, the premium cost of the kind of expertise that those who practice in these areas like myself have. So those are a couple of options. And also, just be aware, too, that oftentimes if a major record label or even an independent record label that has had some success and is making some money approaches an artist, one of your listeners, and is interested in signing them to an exclusive recording agreement, it's not uncommon that they will, as a part of that deal, offer to pay the artist in advance. And if they have offered to do so, that advance can be a source of revenue for the artist to hire someone who is skilled in the area as a music attorney and who can properly advise them on the deal and on all the different possibilities that could come of it, good, bad, or indifferent, things in the deal that may need to be changed, that may need to be adjusted so that the artist will make more money long term, things in the deal that may need to be tweaked so that the artist, when they receive royalties, can audit those royalties down the road and make sure that the label paid them accurately and didn't make a mistake and leave $100,000 in their own pockets because they made a mistake on accounting to the artist. There are many little details and tweaks. For example, the artist having the approval over the music that they record and deciding what music goes on the album and, you know, those discussions. Those are the kind of things that raise a number of different issues that an experienced music attorney is needed to be able to adjust in the agreement for you so that you can have as smooth as possible of an experience in that relationship with the label. So those are just a few different examples of places where you can address, you know, the financial impact of the need for a music attorney specifically. You can get certain books and look certain things up yourself, and I gave you one that's very, very popular. You can reach out to the Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, which is in those particular specific cities that I just mentioned. Or if you're in a situation, a fortunate situation, where you have someone who wants to sign you to a deal and they have offered to pay you in advance, you will have something there to be able to tell the attorney, hey, look, I don't have any money on hand, but these guys want to sign me, and they want to give me an advance of, you know, $50,000. I can pay you out of that. In many instances, the lawyer's fee will be, will negotiate it with you where it will probably be a percentage of whatever that advance is. I hope that was helpful.
That's good stuff. Now, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts about the whole you really need to be in Atlanta, New York, or L.A. to really come up fast? You know, and you used to hear a lot of rag-to-riches stories, but is that still, do you really, and I'm just asking your opinion, so there's not a right or wrong answer, but in your thoughts,
sure,
because you're in the industry and you're around it every day, what are your thoughts about that? Is that just a myth, or do you believe there is still some truth to you really need to be in those more predominant, you know, environments in order to be successful?
Well, I think the Internet has changed things dramatically. Now you can, you know, you can be an aspiring artist in a small town in Mississippi, and if you put up on YouTube a number of recordings of yourself singing or performing, and people love the music, and they begin to tell other people to listen to it, and word spread, then that in and of itself can draw people to you who recognize talent and who may want to then in some way bring you to the attention of sort of the power brokers in music, or the people who, you know, might be at the record companies, or might be a particular manager or someone like that. And I think that, you know, those are the kind of the things that can happen now that couldn't happen before, and that's a direct result of the Internet. Now, with respect to Atlanta, New York, and L.A., there is still some truth to the fact that those markets are good places to begin a musical career simply because of the fact that there are concentrations in those areas of people who are making music and who are in the business of music, often at a high level. So, for example, in New York and L.A., that's where you're going to find most of your major record labels. So all your talent scouts, you know, who are in and around that area are going to be usually based out of those cities. And you're also going to have, you know, record producers clustered in those areas, talent clustered in those areas, lots of showcases in those areas for talent. And you may also have record producers clustered in those particular cities because they know that there's a community there. There's a community there to support this common goal of people creating music and trying to get it out to the masses, as many people as possible. So, yes, it can be faster because if you move to one of those places, it may be a little bit easier to bump into or be in the same space with or get some of your talent seen by people who are in the industry. I have relatives who live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they tell me all the time there's a lot of talent here, but there's no one who is connected enough to take it to the next level in their immediate community. So as a result, there's a community there of people who are interested in music, but there's not a lot there to support that. There are not people who are in areas of the industry who have some power or influence who can get that out of there and take it to the masses. So as a result, that wouldn't be a desirable place to go to if you wanted to try to grow your music career, whereas New York, Atlanta, L.A., and Nashville definitely would be.
How about Miami?
Wow, that's good stuff. That is absolutely good stuff.
I think Miami as well. I think Miami might be a little bit more genre specific, certainly. Latin music, Miami, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Miami, Los Angeles, definitely. I think hip-hop music in Miami, but it is also, you know, Miami has a history with hip-hop and with club and with dance music going back to Two Live Crew. So, you know, and then more recently with artists like Rick Ross and, you know,
Lil Wayne lives in the area. So there's definitely, you know, a musical scene there, or at least there's a presence of people who are involved in music in Miami as well.
Okay. That's fair, and that's great information. Wow, I heard your voice, and then I lost my question, and it was good. Oh, my gosh, where did it go?
Girl, what's going on? What's going on?
I know it. You know, it's hard to get me off and see what Mr. McMillan is doing to me. I'm not ever off my game. I'm like, wow. Never even write notes down. I mean, you got me with pen and paper.
Poetic, you have to pick up the pieces. Poetic,
wow.
You have to pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
Well, I do have a question for you.
But wait, let me write yours down because I just remembered mine. So I thought about what you were talking about, Randall, when you were speaking of technology, and I wanted to ask, we know that it's obviously changed our lives, the world as a whole, but even more so in the entertainment industry. How has that helped or harmed relationships between lawyers? Because a lot of times people, I mean, I'm on video conferencing now. I don't even have to fly to D.C. anymore. They're just like, hey, go to this location, and we're having a meeting like we're together. But how has that helped or harmed business? Because I would imagine that when you think of an attorney or a lawyer relationship, you do still want kind of that touchy-feely, in-your-face kind of thing. And how do
right.
you balance in that? So can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. I have a preference. I mean, I definitely prefer to meet with, you know, and interview my clients before I take them on. That's my own personal preference. There are some lawyers who are perfectly comfortable with having solely an email relationship with their clients where, you know, someone hears, hey, I heard that you know how to do this. Here, I have this kind of problem. Can you handle it for me? And the lawyer says, sure, here's my fee. I can handle it for you. And they send them the document, they handle it, they send it back, and they're perfectly fine with that. And sometimes that might be needed. There may be no other alternative. You know, I have clients that I represent who live in the Netherlands, and we haven't met, but we've had conversations. And through that, I've gotten to know them, and, you know, hopefully we'll meet the next time they're here in the States. But, you know, technology actually has made our relationship more efficient than it would have been, you know, say 25 years ago, where maybe I would have had to wait for them to fax me a 25-page document, you know, one page at a time, and then, you know, maybe I would have to make comments to that document and send it back to them by fax. So, you know, every time you fax something, it starts to look even more and more grainy. So, you know, nowadays we don't have to do that. Nowadays they can simply scan and email me the document, and I can have it in a matter of seconds. I can print it out, and I can make changes to it, and then I can scan it and send it back to them in a matter of seconds. So as a result, you know, technology has been a plus for attorney-client relationships, and especially with video conferencing and Skype, you know, it's been even more enhanced, such that you can have international clients and develop as good or and as robust a relationship with them as you may have with someone who is in the same office building as you as a client. So, you know, as all aspects of technology, I believe, you know, the legal profession has been impacted both positively and negatively by it.
Absolutely agreed. Okay, Poetic, go ahead with your question. And for those of you who are just joining, of course, you are still locked and loaded. Yes, we have a longer edition tonight because we have a fantastic expert in the legal field on with us talking about entertainment industry law, entertainment law in the industry, I should say, Randall McMillan. And Poetic has a question. He's up on deck next. Go ahead, Poetic.
What is the masters, and should an artist allow to give up control of it?
The master is the actual physical recording of music. Now, in this age of technology, physical is not as hard and fast of a word used, because the music could actually be recorded digitally. But whatever that actual digital file is will be referred to as the master. You know, historically, and, you know, maybe a little history lesson with the recorded music industry, with the record business. Historically, the term master came from when records were first recorded in the early 1900s, and RCA, who I used to work for back in the late 90s, had a company called RCA Victor, and they had a record player, and that record player was called the Victrola. And the Victrola played these big plastic discs, which we know as vinyl records. Well, the way that you made those big vinyl discs, well, you know, what DJs refer to now as 12 inches, was you made one steel copy of the record. It was a hard steel copy of the record with grooves on either side of it. And that was referred to as the master. And what they would do in the factories in the plant is they would take that one steel disc and they would press it. They would heat it up and press it against big black plastic discs. And they would impress into that plastic the same grooves that contain the music that's in that master. And they would do that over and over again to make copies of records. And so that's where the term master came from. Nowadays, the master is the actual physical recording of the song, of the record itself, in its finished form, the finished record. Now, the question about whether or not you should own your master or not is an age-old question, because one of the sort of grandfathered in aspects of the music business has always been that record labels own the master recordings. They enter into an agreement with an artist. They invest a lot of money in recording the records. They invest a lot of money in marketing the records. They invest a lot of money in getting publicity for the records, and they invest a lot of money in getting the records played on the radio. And by virtue of those investments, they believe that they should own that finished product. And so historically, major record labels have owned the masters that the artists record. Now, they'll pay the artists royalties from the sales of those records that are made from that master, but the master itself is something that they have historically owned. Today, any new artist is not going to own their master recordings if they enter into a recording agreement with a major record label. Now, if an artist records their own album and they go and they get a distribution deal with another record label, then they can keep ownership of their master recordings. And that distribution deal means that the record company is just going to make copies of it and sell it on their behalf, but they'll always own the actual master, the artist will. You know, even some of the biggest names that you know in music today do not own their master recordings. Mariah Carey, the Rolling Stones, Bon Jovi, they do not own their master recordings.
Okay. So in a sense, when you get signed to a major label, you might as well waive that right at that point in time.
Yes. You probably will not have a choice if you want to enter into that deal, because the record label is going to invest and pay to record those master recordings. Now, if you have records that you've recorded and you create a buzz of your own out here in the marketplace and everybody loves you and everybody wants to hear more from you and the record labels are all competing to sign you, you will have tremendous amount of leverage that you may be able to enter into an agreement with the record label that says, hey, here's what we're going to do. This album that I created that everybody is all on the radio and, you know, people are already buying from me independently, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to own that. And you guys can sell it sell copies of it, but I'm going to own the masters for that one. Now, the future records that I record with you guys, you major labels, that you invest in, that you pay for, you guys can own those. But this first album that I paid for by working down at the Wawa or the Piggly Wiggly, I'm going to own that. And you guys can, you know, make copies of it and sell copies of it, and, you know, and we can work out a split for how, you know, the revenues are shared on this one. But then the next ones you guys can own because you're paying for them.
Okay. Maybe Di, I'm going to give it back to you. Thank you very much, Randall.
Well, again, we are at the bottom of the hour, and I want to again say on behalf of the entire Hip Hop National Radio and Magazine family, thank you so much for spending time with us. And, you know, we will have to ask if you will spend a little bit of time with us off the air so that we can get an official interview with you so that we can highlight you in our magazine. If you would do us the honors of doing that, we would love to do that.
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, we're looking forward to that. Myra Morris, you've already been in contact with her. She'll take care of that aspect, but I really believe that what you shared tonight is invaluable and priceless, and again, we thank you so much. Poetic, did you have anything to say before we close this edition of Hip Hop National Radio with a prayer?
No, I don't. I just want I don't know. I'm getting feedback, but no, I don't know that. Thank you, Randall. Appreciate you.
Are you going to do your power hour after the prayer, Poetic?
Yes, I am.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all great things must come to an end. This is my edition of Hip Hop National Radio coming to a close. Again, a big shout out and thank you to Randall McMillan. I have really, truly enjoyed you, and I'm sure all of you have as well. As we close out this and turn it over to Poetic for his power hour, let us go to the throne of grace. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you again for yet another opportunity to continue to share your word with your people, Lord. And we ask that we always stay on the decrease so you will forever know that you're always welcome to be on the increase. We bless all of the endeavors that will go forth. Many, many blessings, and as we say here on Hip Hop National Family, once you come on as a guest, you are now part of the family. You can come back anytime that your schedule will permit. So with that being said, as I turn it over to Poetic, I hope that you guys get over the hump, and we look forward to joining you again here on our family and friends' fantastic, fabulous Friday. In Jesus' name, amen. Poetic, you now have the ones and twos.
All right, y'all. Just like she said, this is that hour, the power hour. You just call in. You say it. We play it right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're delighted to share with the entertainment community, the unsigned community, our platform for you to get your music played and heard right here. That's right. Call in at 213-559-2995. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Ready Gear is the place where your image matters. We handle all promotional needs that you could have in mind. We are so much more than t-shirts. We do business cards, padfolios, pins, and more. In fact, whatever you can put your name on, we do. Give us a call at 214-333-0180. That's 214-333-0180. Tell them HHNR told you to give them a call.
This your boy, Pop Man MC, representing Filavide Films and Record, calling from Los Angeles, California. Be sure to take a peek at our new movie trailer, Welfare to Millionaire. Link is now up on YouTube, Facebook, /PopManMC, or right here on HipHopNational.com. That's the new movie trailer, Welfare to Millionaire, Facebook /POWERMANMC.
Millennium, we the new what's happening. That's right, MVP is the label on top of things. little twisted, that's right. Neck, wrist, and ear full of bling, that's right. I'm still in the street doing my thing, that's right. Laced in the game with my Timbs and Air Knights. If you heard them in the club with the thugs, that's right. Keep the tube tucked by the side, that's right. I creep with the freaks, that's right. Have a different chick every week, that's right. Quick to put a cow with the sleeve, that's right. No coma, he gon' die when he sleep, that's right. You heard your boy Flow getting dough, that's right. You heard him in his own with Toy Capone, that's right. If you heard my name, T, that's right. From the south side, we the C's, homie, that's right. Now you know that's right.
We control the block,
that's right, that's right.
Player, we won't stop,
that's right, that's right.
We was born to ball,
that's right, that's right.
And we blessed to have it all,
that's right, that's right.
We control the block,
that's right, that's right.
Player, we won't stop,
that's right, that's right.
We was born to ball,
they got it on lock like Tupac. Reload and pop till the knee has dropped. Never stop, then you wonder why I'm on top. Don't ask no questions or you might get shot. Cause show no sympathy. Maybe it's just the industry, the pimp of me will always come out when you came to me. Relentlessly, I will show you what you need to see. Your destiny, it only relies on your entity. If you survive to see your 23 game banging like a knee, and you will never be anything irrelevant to what you think. You will only sink. Don't blink because you're closest to the weakest link. Take some time to think and don't stall. Step those underground here, then for sure you fall. Ready to brawl, biggest come in the car. Thinking they hard, knowing that I'm pull at that car.
We control the block,
that's right, that's right.
Player, we won't stop,
that's right, that's right.
We was born to ball,
that's right, that's right.
And we blessed to have it all,
that's right, that's right.
We control the
Big Daddy Kano, Dougie with my fresh, you need to get with this hero. Summertime fresh prince, hella put me in a mix. Now I'm painting full like Rakim and Eric B. Still trying to fight the power like a public enemy. Cause in 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak. Respect the KRS, one mic is all I need. Now I shop the classic like shit was from Mobb Deep. On the road to riches, on my rap cool G. Use a pen when I write, empty like paper thin. I'm talking hip-hop, I used to love a common sense. It's all because of you, Slick Rick.
All in the name of hip hop. Get your little dance, your hours with love.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. Look at you now, you know you should've stayed.
To the essence when the music had a message, asking why like Jada straight up, cause I got a couple questions. Got no problem with you shining, love to see you grinding. But let's define the difference in a rapper and a rhymer. I'm a writer or an artist, not an image or a gimmick. Remember when we used to keep it real, now we pretending. The industry is not about the music but the money. Ask a youngin' who was GDP, they looking at you funny. What a shame, but the paper coming, so I guess we made it. But the music suffering like people living out in Haiti. And it's crazy since digital, nobody's original. Since stuck in the cellar and everybody body's criminal.
All in the name of hip hop. Get your little dance, your hours with love.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. Look at you now, you know you should've stayed.
Original. All in the name of hip hop. I'ma give everything that I've got.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. I'm here to stay. We bring it back love.
Original.
I'm sorry I ain't been so nice in a while, but things is going hard, so it's hard to crack a smile. Like, the certain mood changes, the new dude names. Is it when they try to holler, they gon' wanna tug a chain? I remember when they treated you right. Somebody talk about your favorite rapper, you was ready to fight. The message got lost, the real jumped off. So who's flying this plane, or is it that song? Cause they don't dance no more, all they do is this. I recall the cross colors and the names on your kit. A page on your hip, Nick, you was the ish. And percolating in the road, right of the tip was the
all in the name of hip. Get your little dance, your hours with love.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. Look at you now, you know you should've stayed.
Original. All in the name of hip hop. I'ma give everything that I've got.
Cause back in the day, the music had played. I'm here to stay, we're bringing back love.
Original.
I'm trying to show you the way.
Listening to Hip Hop National Radio tonight. We had a wonderful show tonight. We had Randall McMillan on with us, and tonight we were talking about what are some of the legalities we face in entertainers. We had Captain Poetry on. Captain Poetry, I got to ask you, were you able to get the questions answered that you needed answered tonight?
Yes, I've gotten all the questions answered. He's covered every base. You know, and I've been writing down some things as he was talking. I was taking some notes, and I tell you, I do thank him for all that valuable information. I thank God for having him on the show, also. But man, I tell you, he's covered all the bases.
What show was able to bring that to you, Captain Poetry?
The hip hop radio station, one of the best radio stations.
I'm gonna help you say it. Hip hop national radio. Now you can go ahead.
Okay, I'm glad you corrected me on that. Hip hop national radio station, one of the best radio stations in the United States of America, and to my opinion, one of the best radio stations in the world.
Thank you very much for that, Captain Porter. Appreciate that. 678-622, do you have any questions, comment, or statements you'd like to make for tonight's topic? 678-622, you have your hand up. If you don't have a question or a comment, all you have to do is press the number 1, and it will allow you to put your hand back down. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you. Captain Fortune, thanks for tuning in. And it's always a pleasure to be able to help someone. So I'm glad that your questions was answered, and hopefully going forward, you'll be able to capitalize on the things that's necessary for you to do in your quest for what you're already seeking.
Yes, yes. It's been a pleasure, so everything's been likewise.
Okay. Thank you very much. See you soon. Stay with us. You're listening to Hip Hop Radio.
What's up, family? This your boy, Kofan. Shout out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Request my single, Call Me, on HipHopNationalRadio.com.
Yeah. I go by the name of Kofan. Kofan. This my single right here. Call Me. Call me. Check it out. Check it out.
Wait.
This is Conscious Level, telling you to stand up and reminding you the revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast on the number one station, HipHopNationalRadio.com.
You know, there comes a time when we all must stand up for our rights, what's right. And there comes a time we all must stand up against what's wrong, what's wrong. See, we all have an obligation in this world,
yes, we do now,
to live life to its fullest. Because we all, each and every one of us, no matter what race or creed, have been blessed with life.
Stand up.
Like a mighty stream, so did the blood of this innocent young bright teen. I had a dream, what does this mean? Thought we all came together to erase this scene. A fraudulent theme, the pattern of a scheme, the cycle of a weapon used by a slick team. I don't know, but the children should grow way beyond the years for their life and soul. Tragically, it's a mystery, the evidence is clear, why do this to we? Injustice anywhere, injustice everywhere. Don't hide behind the law, stand your ground, be fair. When I look into his eyes, see my son in his eyes. From the 911 call, heard his desperate cry. Can you see him, Trayvon, hit they desperate lies. Desperate why our hood is always stand with pride.
Stand up for what you know.
Whenever you see wrongful acts against any human being or innocent creature, I impel you to just
keep your head up, don't get fed up, don't get frustrated. Keep faith in God, you'll be elevated like a test, we get graded. Punch a clock till we make it. See, said pray to any means we can take it. Fight the power every hour, don't be degraded. Women fought for equal rights, now they're educated. Brown versus poor, stop school segregated. And union stand up, they so dedicated. We can make a difference, y'all, we can work together. You believe, we receive, we can live forever. Equal rights, better pay, and we still endeavor. And one thing, please, never say never. Explore what the universe has in store. It's a blessing, no stress and no disease infested. Let a world peace, that's what we manifest. And when you see ignorance, start citizen arresting.
And anyone can see that got common sense. Racial profiling is an injustice, cause there's no justice, it's just us. They killed all our leaders way back in the past and got away with murder, made me wanna start blasting. Stand up for what's right. The system was designed to make you not wanna fight. Cause we've been divided and conquered through economics. Unity has been lost in Reaganomics. Chill with me so you can feel me for standing up. They probably wanna kill me. The blood of the innocent has power. A quote from Jesse, now we in power. One false move and they'll shoot ya. God bless the next generation for the future.
For what you know.
This
is Honey Jacks, reminding you for the best tips and advice on the music business, tune in to HipHopNationalRadio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast.
Go ahead and put your quarter in and pick a can. Forget the devil, he coming, I'ma kick the can. Yeah, I consider myself a man of God. Matter of fact, I'm praying to the only God. God Almighty, I look into the skies. I am a superstar, I be up in the sky. Plus I realize nothing in this world can ever change my feeling about you, Lord. And then I know something is changing in my life, but hey, I'ma give you my world. Anyway, I ain't tripping off these people that be backsliding. Matter of fact, I'm in the back with the Lord riding. Yeah, chilling in the backseat. But if you serve the Lord, guess what? There's no backseat.
What you want?
What you want?
Baby, I got it.
Zay, let's tell them where we're trying to be. Let's go.
Said I wanna be closer to my King. Said I wanna be closer to my King.
Yeah,
I wanna be closer than close. Next to the host, the creator of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and that's God, you see. So we stay with the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, Zay is me, and holy is he. So he deserves to be the King. Yeah, and on his wings is we. Yeah, the G2G. Cause we give the glory to he. Yeah, and never take it for keeps. Yeah, when we float our peeps with a harmony speech. Yeah, we aiming to teach. Yeah, and not aiming to please the people, but aiming to please God. So we get on our knees and pray for everyone needs our Father, please. It can't spell USA without us, say. And there's no Y in team of the words that we say. Yeah, every day we live for the day. E-S-U-S, believe we, believe he, for he is a lamb. And believe me, cause serving I am. I'm in Christ, yeah, a new creation. Yeah, the old me is gone, so I'm celebrating. Yeah, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Yeah, 7, you see. I practice on the teachings, cause my future is for preaching. Yeah, so I study my Bible. No more looking trifle, no need for a rifle. Yeah, I say I'm done with that. So when I say I'm strapped, that's cause Jesus got my back. Yeah.
That I wanna be closer to my King. That I wanna be closer to my King.
And whatever it is that's got a hold on me, I just need it to let go. No flex,
Jacob, what up?
Ride with me on this one.
Let's go.
I feel the world on my shoulders. I'm carrying boulders. They bury my shoulders. Right now it's scary. I'm colder. Wish your life could be over. Said I'm sick of you posers. Want you to die or grow older. Try to keep my composure. The pain escapes my mind. I let it flow through my pen. My name will be great in time. I'll be here to the end. I ain't afraid to speak my mind. I don't really need friends. To the grave, one of a kind. Jacob will never pretend. but an act blew all pissed off. I got enough fire inside me I could lift off. Send my soul to the heavens I could take off. Come back to the earth with my body impaled on the cross. I'm a chip off the block, my block is cinder with rock. Can't piss, no pot. Grew up with no pot, no stocks and no crops. Just a bucket and mop, plus a bunch of belly flop. My life's a closed down shot, so release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul,
so believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown,
so release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul,
so believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to